Hello and welcome to episode number 16 here on the Darling and Darling podcast. This is Tim, and today Zimi is with me again, and we are going to talk about plotting again, and this time we will go in depth about world building. So, Zimi, we built a world together where you are setting your novel in right now, and how did we get started there?
I think it's really important to mention here that we started because of a D&D campaign. So originally the whole world concept or the world building concept was for that D&D campaign, and later on I decided to put a novel in there.
Yes, that's true. It all started with our idea and the idea in our friend group that we wanted to start a D&D campaign together, and that's where we got the task, I would say, to create a world for that, to set the campaign in. So what did we start with? Because, I mean, a world is a big thing. So with which area did we start?
I think the first area was that we went on Google and found some areas you can work on to just clarify what has to be in a world to make it a world. So I think that was the first thing we did. And then we found questions in different areas. And then we started working on those to get a sense of that world we were building.
Yes, we have the areas here, and I will read them to you. Although it's just as an example. You can plot in some of these areas, you can also find additional areas, so use that as inspiration if you want to go into world building yourself. And if you want to have a more structured way, you can also just go on the internet and search for a world building checklist, and you will find a bunch of free resources there. So some of the areas we plotted in were the universe, the physics, geography and climate, ecosystem and biology, culture and history, society and religion, and technology and magic. And I think we started in that order, and then at some point we just got hooked by several concepts, and we just went more into depth into these directions. So we started with that checklist, but then it took its own course, as I recall.
Yeah, that's actually true. And we also didn't work through all of that checklist. Like, in the beginning, we weren't sure if we want technology or magic in that world. And now both exists. But we never went back to the checklist to actually fill in what we thought of there. So we just moved on from that checklist.
So let's start with the geography, with the map. Because I remember that we put a lot of effort in that. So do you want to explain how we created the map for our world?
I think first off, we thought about in which time frame we want to set the campaign. And then we ended up choosing a medieval approach, like with not that much technology and no sci-fi elements, and just a really basic understanding of world. So we decided to just go with a continent for now, because they wouldn't know that other continents existed back then. So we don't have to do that work right now. At least that was our approach. So we thought about, do we want kingdoms? Do we want one kingdom? How do we want to structure that? And then we decided we want to have 12 kingdoms in there. And then we started with actually geographically placing different climate zones in there and looking how we can manage that. We have everything in there we want to have in there. And after that, we started with the actual outline of that continent. And also the outline of the different kingdoms. And for that we just used different maps from the real world, I think. We used like some of our region or just islands we found interesting and other stuff we thought of as cool. And then we, yeah, puzzled that together a bit to have a continent in a map sense.
Yes, that's true. So we started with just an unorganized list where we put in what climates do we want to have there, what cultures maybe do we want to have there, and then we figured out from that how many different kingdoms do we need in order to put all of these different settings in, and then we put the kingdoms in order, and then we gave them shape, and then we puzzled it all together, and then we ended up with a nice map with a lot of different elements in there, with different geographies, different landscapes. So just a really interesting place to put many stories in there. I think then the next thing we thought about was the universe, the space around that planet. So I will talk about this a little bit because I think I put more thought in there than you did, Simi.
Yeah, that's actually true. But you are always fascinated from like universe and physics, and I never really understood physics, so I let you do that because you were like, oh, can I do physics? And I was like, of course, just go for it and tell me what you have come up with. So shoot, go for it.
Yeah, so what we paid attention to first because of that medieval setting was how would the sun, the moon, the stars, how would they look like from the ground? Because we didn't think about space traveling or anything like that at that moment. So it was just important how everything looked from the ground. And then we came up with some interesting ideas how to structure day and night, how to have different rhythms there. And then we thought about how would that look from the outside, like how can we position suns and moons and stars and things like that, how can we position them around the planet that it makes somewhat sense. But as I said, the most important part at that point in time was how would it look from the ground, and probably we will go back in depth into this topic when we actually reach an area or when we want to write books, for example, in the future setting where we actually have spaceships and where we want to travel to those different moons and planets around it. But as far as we are right now, it was just important how it looks from the ground. And even when we can't explain things yet right now, we will still be using that. And once we will reach space traveling and we have to describe it in more detail, then we will think about how to make sense out of that. So it's also a process where we start with some ideas, and then we, over time, we will start puzzling them all together and making sense out of them. But sometimes we just keep ideas because we like them, and then we will add more detail to them later on. So Simi, how did we invent characters and especially species, different animals, different kinds of people? How did we come up with those?
I think that also happened really naturally, because while we were doing our work on the world, all of the other characters or players evolved their characters. So we had some bases to work with, and then we just went from that, and I think we just thought about what creatures do they meet, what would be funny, and sometimes we just stood in the kitchen and were making food and saw something like a vegetable, for example, and were like, oh, do you think that would be a nice creature? And then we just built that creature from there. So I think it was just in our everyday life that we found stuff that was interesting, and where we said, oh, we want to have that in our world in some capacity, and then we just made it in our world?
I think in hindsight, what made it really diverse was that we got so much inspiration from other people, and so many ideas from other people went into this world, because especially with the different species, like, we gave them some basic ideas. We started with actual species from D&D that they have in their rule books, and each one picked one. Even though we didn't know much about the species, we just picked them from how they looked, so what we found nice. And then each player built around his character an own society, an own place where they lived. And then we could put that into the world, and we could think about in which of our kingdoms would this place make sense, and then we could puzzle all the pieces in. And that made it quite diverse, because we didn't have to think of everything, but we could take the ideas of our players and put that into the map, and we could take the species that they had invented, because of course they had created in depth the species their own character was, but also some players in their backstory, they met other species and they described it, and then that made it easier to just get a variety of different people in that world. So Zimi, what are our key takeaways? What would you recommend someone who wants to start world building? What are must-haves? What do you have to take care of? What would you say?
I would say to just start small, to start with maybe doing some research and finding a catalog or checklist for you, so you have something to work with. Because I know it's really daunting to think of a world and be like, oh yeah, we have to do that area and that area and that area. That is just a guideline to help you with it, to make it easier for you to start doing it. So I would definitely recommend that. And then take your time. It takes time to do world building, and it also is allowed to take that time, because over time you get so many great ideas, and that's just how things go. They need time, and at some point it evolves in a natural way. So it just happens, and then you're somewhere and be like, oh, that's really amazing, I want that in my world, and then you sit down and do something else for it. So yeah, it's just like an evolution.
And as you maybe know from our first podcast episode about plotting, is that the world, the story, and the characters are all interrelated. So you can also use your characters or your story as a starting point. For example, if you have already fleshed out a character that you want to use, you can think about how would the world look like that character lives in. And then you can start from there. Or if you have a nice story idea, you can think about what world would that story make sense in. So what government do you need to have? What climate do you need to have? What society do you need to have? And then you can start from there. And we will also, about the other two areas, characters and story, we will go in depth in future episodes. So stay tuned for that, because as I said, it's all related to each other. And I think it only makes sense if you look at all three aspects. Then what's also important, what is my experience with world building, do it with as much or as little detail as you want to. Because you can build your story and your character upon your world, that your world is the foundation, and the main thing your book does is to put the reader into this world and to let him experience that world. But you might also want to focus a bit less on the world and put your focus more on letting the reader meet the characters or let the player experience the story. So it's your choice where you want to set your focus. And I, for example, with the with the novel that Zimi is writing right now, we put really much effort in to build that world. And it's an important aspect of that story, that the reader can experience the world and experience the different species and the different animals, and to see all of that and to make that visible to the reader. And the novel I'm working on right now is a bit less focused on the world building. I haven't put in the effort in advance to think about all of that. For me, it's more about the characters and the story. And I make up the world while I write. Like, of course, I have the broader setting and I know how everything looks like, or how the most important parts look like. And every time I need a specific detail, I just think about that, I make it up, or I use an idea I've already had, but I haven't fleshed out everything in advance. So think about how much effort do you need for your book, how much effort do you want to put in, what is fun for you, and then do that and you will figure out the rest. But don't force yourself to flesh out everything if you're not having fun with that. And also, on the other hand, if you have a lot of fun with that, then just work on that, then get all the details straight and think about everything, even if you don't know yet what you will need in your book and what you will use. Just think about that, because first of all, it will be fun for you and it will also help you to write the story. It will make it easier. So just do it the way that feels right for you and that is fun for you, and then you will figure out the rest. Zimi, do you want to talk a bit about inspiration here?
Yeah, I can do that. So you can get inspiration from everywhere, essentially. And what we did, we got inspiration from other people. Like, they had ideas what they wanted in that world, and then we made that. Or we talked with other people and were like doing little creative workshops with them and just talking together and be like, okay, now we need a species, what do you come up with? So that's really nice, and it was really helpful to get some ideas for it. And what is really important to say there is, get inspiration, but don't copy. You can also get inspiration from your favorite books, favorite films, favorite franchises, video games, anything. But it's important that you don't copy that stuff, that you just go there and take some elements out of it without just straight up copying entire pieces. Because when you want to publish works there, it's really important to think about copyright and how that all works out. I say that because we made experience with that, because the novel I'm writing right now is set in that world for D&D, and the storyline is from that D&D campaign. I could do that because I was the writer of the D&D campaign. I could just use what I planned for them as a story, but I couldn't use all of the characters we used or they had because of copyright. And then we just made new ones up. We looked at what characters they had and what essential things they had to bring to the table. And then we just made new ones up with ideas from that, or with like character strength from those existing characters, to make it our own, to make it not just copying from the other person's. So yeah, sometimes you also have to take something, or you have an inspiration, or somebody gives you something, and then you have to make something new out of it in order for it to actually become also better, or in order for you to actually be able to use it because of copyright and the whole thing around that.
I have an additional advice here. You said use your favorite book or use a franchise you really like. And what I want to add is try out not using the book you love the most or a franchise you really love or movies that you really, really like, but take a book or take a story that you just like or that you've heard about. Because what I've realized is, as I said, we started with species from D&D, and I have no idea about D&D. So I just saw the pictures of the species, and I thought, oh, this one looks interesting, I like it, and I will use it for my character. But I didn't know, like, what have people already thought of? What would that species live like? What would the society look like? So I had to make it up myself. And on the other hand, if I get inspiration from Star Wars, for example, I'm really a Star Wars geek, so I really like that. I've watched most of the shows there. I've watched all the movies. I know many things by heart. So when I use a Star Wars species, for example, as inspiration, it's really difficult for me to make something own out of that, because I just know so many things about all the species. I know from which planet do they come from, and how do the villages look like, how do they interact with each other. And then it's really difficult to make my own thing out of it. And then I might end up just copying that, which I don't want. So my advice is try out to take a movie that you just find quite nice, that you find interesting. Maybe something that where you have watched parts of it, but not everything, because that will make it way easier to get that starting point and then turning it into something new, because you will not be stuck in those given trails from the show, because you don't even know everything about it. That's my advice here, which I've made quite some good experiences with. Simi, do you want to give our listeners the writing prompt for today?
Today we have not a journaling prompt, but actually a creative writing prompt again. And the prompt is write a story in which the world is described through all five senses.
Yes, I think that's a really interesting challenge, especially if we want to improve our writing. I think it's a really important skill to learn how to let the reader experience the world, and using those different senses is a really good way to do so. So if you are a writer or if you want to become one, then use this challenge. I invite you to try this out. Doesn't have to be much. Just write one or two pages maybe. You can write less, you can write more, however you want to. And do this challenge of using all five senses to experience different things about the world. You can use a real place, you can make something up completely or anything in between. Yeah, let the reader experience this world. I urge you, try this out. I think it will be fun. I will definitely do that. And if you want to, you can let us know your story. You can find our contact information on our website, darling-and-darling.com. So if you want to send us a story, for example, we would really appreciate that. You can do that. That's it for today. We hope you liked it. We hope you can learn something new. Thank you for staying with us, and we will meet in the next one, probably.
Until then, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.